My wife, Carrie, she got called away to the hospital this morning. That sometimes happens. She's able to sometimes come and worship, and sometimes she just has to pick up and go. That's why we were switching car keys this morning. I'm grateful for Carrie. Carrie has some real administrative gifts, but part of that is also that she is a compulsive sorter. Some of you can relate. Her mother could tell you that she's been that way since she was a small child, putting all of her toys in a row. You ever have a kid like that? Well, she was one. Our house is neat and orderly, and if something is not being used, she throws it out. And she usually does it when I'm not around. Because I, on the other hand, am a compulsive fixer. I like making things last. I get real satisfaction. My parents were both raised during the Depression era, and I don't know, maybe I got that from them, but I really enjoy taking something and extending its life, like my old diesel with 316,000 miles on it. Why throw something away if you can make this work? You see where this is leading, right? Because I'm a fixer, I hang on to things. I'm going to use it someday. There's a use for this. I've got boxes of car parts in the crawl space, a place where Carrie will not go. And on those days when I bring that car part out that I've needed, you know, it's usually with great fanfare. Like, see? here it is. At which point she rolls her eyes. But we're not really so different, she and I, in that regard, because at the heart of things is a desire for life just to be good. We all have that, right? I want things that are broken to work. She wants things that are out of order to be right where they should be. We want life to be as good as we can make it. We all have that, don't we? In one way or another. And there's something about that longing that we need to look at, because it tells us not only something about ourselves, but about the God who made us for himself. Now, it can show us a couple of things. It can show us how attached we are to this world. Isn't it true that we, try to make our lives this little paradise where everything fits together just so? You often see that with folks who are retired. You know, their houses are perfect. Everything is just kind of right where it, should be. Not everyone. If you're shaking your head, that's okay. But isn't that why we look back with longing on those days when it just seemed like everything was in place, I don't know when your glory days were, I was 19 and had hair, I don't know. It's funny though, the other day I was playing one of those stations that has music from, different decades, and I was playing some music from that time in my life, and the more I listened to it, the more depressed I got. Not because I was wanting to go back to the good old days, but because looking back, all of these memories came flooding in, and I realized I really wasn't as happy as I thought I was at that time. I'm happier now. And listening to some of that music, it just brought me down. It's funny how that works. Our memories can play tricks on us. And so we come to our scripture today. It's out of our New Testament reading from the past week. And by the way, I want to mention that this next Sunday, when Sunday school starts, not at, what time is worship? 11. But Sunday school starts at, help me, 9:30. We're going to be in one of the books that we're reading this month, which is the Epistle to James, or the Epistle of James, James the brother of Jesus. It's a fascinating read, really looking forward to digging into that. But still, now we're in Hebrews, the book right before it. Here we go, Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, right? Just a few verses, verses 13 through 16, let's read them. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. In other words, God has placed this longing in us for life to be good, for things to be better. And this chapter tells us about people like Abraham and Sarah who lived by faith, even though, if you read their story, they had their doubts sometimes, right? You know, sometimes we can pedestal those people too quickly without getting into the real depths of the story. And Sarah laughs when God tells her she's going to have a baby. Isaac's name is literally, he laughs. Abraham himself is complaining to God on several occasions. God comes to him at one point and says, you know, I'm your very great reward. And Abraham can't even see it. He's like, I'm still childless. I mean, that's the first thing out of his mouth. After God says that to him. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. So, the truth is we're tied to this earth. And that's not always a bad thing. I mean, we need to care about others. We need to care for God's creation. But if our hearts are so locked down here that we can't see that we're foreigners and strangers on this earth, we're missing something. Something that can do us good. Something that can give us peace. Something that can encourage us to move forward. Not just in our own strength, but in God's strength, because he's carrying us, because we're walking in his presence and we're seeing things that we never would see. So, you know, think about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Moses, all of these mentioned in this chapter, who learned to look forward to what God was going to do. And as you do that, ask yourself, am I like that? Where's my focus? Is it just so much on the here and now or on the past? Or is there this part of me, this deep part that looks forward? Because if you know him, it's there. Oh, you know, you might have to remove the lid off the well, but the depth is there through His Spirit, and He can lift you and me and bring us to that place. Remember what it was that upset God when Israel was in the wilderness? I mean, there are many things, but remember the thing they kept saying? We want to go where?
Back.
Yeah. We want to go back to Egypt. And then they get to the borders of the promised land itself. What do? We're not going in there. There are giants there. You know, I mean, no way. Except for two, Joshua and Caleb. And what did God tell Joshua and Caleb? But Joshua especially, be strong and courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. I mean, Joshua faced a lot of battles, and that wasn't easy. I mean, those situations that he was up against were real, and they were not just the physical aspects of warfare, as terrifying and horrifying as those are. There were spiritual aspects of this warfare as well. And we need to be mindful that we are Spirit. We're given an eternal soul. And we need to live in that place of knowing Him, loving Him. You know, when Jesus comes, or when He calls me to Him, I don't want to be dragged kicking and clawing after this world because I can't let go of it. I'd rather have my eyes and my heart looking forward. What's next? What's next, Abba? Because that's that longing for a better country that we see here, right? That's the life of faith the Bible is telling us about. And this isn't about sitting on a cloud, playing a harp, singing hymns all day long. Actually, the Bible doesn't describe heaven like that. It's more like the picture we saw on the front of the bulletin, ultimately, the kingdom of God. It's going to be a fascinating place. But this goes to the core of how God made us and what we're made for. And the truth is, we're like a fish out of water in this world. You know, we know that something's not right, so we keep trying to get back to that place that's right. When our hearts were made to be at rest in God's peace and God's presence. C.S. Lewis wrote about that and said that a fish in water doesn't know that it's wet. And the point is that we wouldn't have this longing if we weren't meant for more. This past week, I heard the actor Russell Brand, who some of you may know. He has become a Christian recently. And there have been some good people like Nikki Gumbel with the Alpha Program who have been pouring into his life. And I mean, if you know this guy, you know, Sherry's back there shaking her head. It's like, what? And I love stories like that, not because I'm into celebrity conversions kind of thing, but because you never know, you know. But in his instance, some of the things he's saying seem like, yeah, this makes real sense. He was telling this past week about how he had been trying to give more of his life over to Jesus. And he had read that verse about, I stand at the door and knock, and he had asked Christ into his heart and into his life. But there were those places, he said, where he knew the Holy Spirit was needing to do more work. And so he was praying, Lord, help me with this. Come into my life more. Come into these places more. You can see why I would hear that and think, okay, you know, this is sounding pretty genuine. And then he pulls out this little thing. I don't know what you called it, but it's a little box. And he said, as I was praying about this, my wife gave me an anniversary present. And he pulls out this little box, and on the box, when you open the box up, there's a little cross inside. He's Anglican. There's Jesus on the cross inside. And he said, I'm so thankful for my wife, but I'm so thankful she gave this to me. As, you know, as I was praying for Christ to be in me, you know, she gives me this. I open it up. He said, I'm so thankful for my wife, but I'm especially thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I love that. The way he concluded it was, if you noticed how when you pray, the coincidences happen more frequently. I find that to be true. I've found that to be true all of my life, as long as I've known him. And as we give our lives over to God, and we place even our longings in his hand, now, that's the tricky part, right? To place even our longings in his hands and let him into them. As we do this, he renews them, sets them right, turns them in the direction that they should go. For example, if you want your children and grandchildren to be blessed in life, whenever you worry about them, as much as you can in that moment, can you take that worry and turn it into a prayer? I'm giving them up to you, Lord. Not that it's like, oh, here, do whatever, but just know. Sometimes I get nervous when people pray, well, do whatever. It's like, whoa. But, Lord, here they are. And here's their future. Take that longing and that worry and let the Spirit in into those days when you won't be on this earth. If your mind and heart are filled with the politics of the moment, let God into that and pray. My goodness. Every time you hear a lie, wait, you'll be praying all the time on. Well, that's okay. Right? I mean, every time you hear something that's not right, Lord, please. Every time you see people standing for things that are an abomination to God, Lord, please. Every time you see those who are ground down by this world, you know, used as political fodder for whatever reason, pray. ask Jesus to help. Bring him into those. Turn the news into prayer. Right? Or think about this. If you find yourself loving things too much, thank God for them. But then pray, Lord, help me not to become too attached. Maybe, Lord, show me how I can share this joy with someone. Bless me in the joy of giving to others, giving to your kingdom, giving to you. If you long to be useful, how about that? You know? Where do you want to go today? What do you want to do? That's one of the things God has been teaching me lately is to dial it back, throttle it back just a little bit on those places where I normally would push. I got to sit down, I got to think this through, I got to get this done. And instead, I've sensed God saying, wait a minute, take a step back, give it to me. Wait, we'll come up with the conclusion together. And he does that. And when he does, I know it because it's like, oh, of course, why didn't I think of that before? It falls into place. And it wasn't like it was this, oh, moment, you know. It was just this moment of reality. Because God is the ultimate reality. And we're so gripped on this world sometimes that we miss it. We need to open our hearts, our hands, to let him in, because nothing fills us like he can. Again, think about Lot's wife. Remember we talked about her? You know, why did she turn back to Sodom? Why? That looking, that phrase in the Hebrew has to do with longing as well. So I'm going to finish up with just a couple paragraphs from John Eldridge on this. He's thinking about Lot's wife. He says, I shudder at how easily my heart can be divided. I do love God. I really do. I know you do too. The double-mindedness is revealed when we only sort of want God. Our longing for life to be good again becomes the test we hold up against God. If he seems to be helping, wonderful. We believe. If he doesn't, well, we're going to chase whatever we think will fill our longing and get back to God sometime down the road. Powerful, ancient forces are pulling us in this direction. Oh, is that true? Scripture reminds us to put on the full armor of God, and that's all about prayer. He says, we are in such a vulnerable moment. We must choose single-heartedness when we desire Jesus above everything else, above all our other lovers, our false Edens, our passing comforts. If you want to become a wholehearted person, you must reach the point where happily, lovingly, you give absolutely everything over to God. You make Jesus your everything, your all in all, not only in this the fulfillment of your heart's created destiny, not only is this, excuse me, the fulfillment of your heart's created destiny, It is the source of all recovery and resilience. Nothing can be taken from you because you've already surrendered everything. And you've surrendered everything because you have something more. Something, someone that is more than everything. Check your longings, dear one. Because one day you'll have to check them at the door, right? Better to give them to God here and now, to let Him renew us, refresh us, to help us long through His Spirit so that we may truly live. Let's wait for Him again in a quiet moment and just do that, shall we? Let's just pause right now. Maybe as we've talked about these things, you've realized that you are longing for more, and this world hasn't filled that longing. But there's something about Jesus that you can't get away from. And it is because you were made for Him, and He's calling you to Him. And if you come to Him, I cannot promise you that your life will be easy, but I can promise you that it will be better. Because no one loves like He does, and He will show you His love. And our part is to do that hard thing, to admit we've looked for satisfaction in every other thing, we've sinned. And to be able to honestly look at that and say, I'm sorry. But then also to come to the good part that says, yes, Lord, I want You. Come in, save me, set me free. I believe You came for this very reason. I believe Your cross and Your empty tomb are all about that. I receive You. Please come in. And He will. He will. You might not feel any different in the moment, but keep looking, keep staying with Him, and you will. And maybe there's just been a place in your own heart this morning where you've looked at longings, and you've said, I'm not where I need to be. Even though I know Jesus, hey, what a great opportunity to just say, help me, Lord, with this. And then to rest in Him, as we were singing earlier, because ultimately this isn't up to us making this happen. This is about His Spirit working in us what is pleasing to God, and He will. So you can rest in Him in that. Our part is to just let go, dial it back a little, and say, yes, Lord, yes, I'm Yours. So as we come to the Lord's table, it's amazing to me that that God would take one of the most basic longings for food. And and put this sacrament, this holy thing that we do, into his church. When I was working as a waiter when I was in college, it was the best lesson on human nature I could have. I've never seen people get so petulant as they do around food sometimes. Right? You ever get hangry or something isn't quite right? Come on. But how good is God to go to the depths of even those longings and use them and redeem them for himself? Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat." It's more than just a metaphor. It's about the whole life of the spirit, body, soul. After he picked up the bread, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant." You're laughing at the left-hander, aren't you? You saw that. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. All of you, drink of it." How good that Jesus uses these analogies of filling us with himself. You know, he speaks of living water. He speaks of the wine. He says that same night, "I won't drink of wine until I drink in the kingdom with you." He's looking forward. But how good is God to take our longings and turn them to him? Let's come to this table just confessing. You know, there's those places in our lives where we've been struggling to say, "Lord, you are better. You are more. I love you more. I want to love you more." You know, if you're scratching and clawing, hanging on to that longing, and you're thinking, you know, just going to run out. And again, not that all longings are bad, but sometimes we turn them there, right? You know, if you're saying, I'm going to go out and sin right after church kind of thing. Don't come to this table that way. Because he wants to meet us. And it's good, and we don't want to miss it. So Lord, please set these elements apart through your spirit to a sacred use in us. Thank you for your perfect love, in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask if our leadership team could come up. Mary, you okay? And Ken, if you'd be available for prayer. Please come as the Lord leads. Thank you.
Thank you.